nigga to put the rap down, put the Mac down. And if your bitches talk shit, I have to put the smack down. Yeah, and you don't stop. I told you I'm just like a clock when I tick and I tock, but I'm never off.
Welcome, Hebrews, Negroes, serfs, paupers, and peasants, comrades. You're listening to the Dred Scott Show, your underground network to financial freedom, coming to you from Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, the corner plantation house we know as Washington, D.C. Here to cure your financial slavery mentality, your host, the one, the only, Neil the Dred Scott. Welcome, 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 everybody. You're listening to the Dred Scott Show, and I am your host, the one, the only, Neil the Dred Scott. So let's begin with going over what happened this week. We started the show off a little bit gangster, because as you know, this week, President Obama decided to get gangster once again with the Supreme Court. This isn't the first time, as you know, during his State of the Union address, he attacked the court on a case called Citizens United, which, you know, allowed unregulated campaign financing by private companies. And so, I guess, keeping with Obama tradition, he did it again this week and sent out a message to the court that they're unelected bunch of judges, and well, here, you listen for yourself and judge.
And I think it's important, I think the American people understand, and I think the justices should understand that in the absence of an individual mandate, you cannot have a mechanism to ensure that people with pre-existing conditions can actually get health care. So there's not only a economic element to this and a legal element to this, but there's a human element to this. And I hope that's not forgotten in this political debate. Ultimately, I'm confident that the Supreme Court will not take what would be an unprecedented, extraordinary step of overturning a law that was passed by a strong majority of a democratically elected Congress. And I just remind conservative commentators that for years what we've heard is the biggest problem on the bench was judicial activism or a lack of judicial restraint. That an unelected group of people would somehow overturn a duly constituted and passed law. Well, there's a good example, and I'm pretty confident that this court will recognize that and not take that step.
So there you have it. That's what President Obama said. And then sure enough, after getting gangster, a circuit court in Texas decided to just tell President Obama,
change my nigga, yeah.
Nigga, please.
Yeah. My nigga, please. You ain't cocking no guns like these, my nigga, please.
So, I just had to do that. I'm sorry. Please, bear with me. Obama goes and attacks the court for the second time. And then a judge in the circuit court, well, it's Mickey Mouse hour at the White House, because apparently President Obama didn't realize that in the, I think it's the appellate court or whatever, that there was a case pending dealing with just the same issue. Does the court have a right to overturn a statute? And of course, A judge in that case promptly fired off a letter to the attorney general saying, hey, listen, you better clarify, you better get your ducks in a row here because, you know, you're in front of the court, your boss, who your president, the president is saying one thing and you're in front of the court arguing, you know, on this same issue. So it's Mickey Mouse over here at the plantation we call Washington, D.C., and sure enough, Obama had to backtrack his statement a little bit and, you know, just, well, basically just said, yeah, the court has all the right to review and even overturn statutes passed by Congress. Now, I am not one of those people, you know, those fanatics on the radio who or going around saying, oh, Obama is, you know, the Antichrist, and this just shows that he is a tyrant, and blah, and he's going to destroy America and everything. I just wanted to point out, you know, what happened, and I just thought it was funny. Rather than seeing it as a tyrant, I'm just like, and this is the government that we send our hard-earned money to, and they rule over us. You know, just utter amateur hour. Now, having said that, it is still worth noting, though, that this debate here about the court and can they overturn a law by Congress and blah, 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 is as old as the Republic itself. It's happened before. It will probably happen again. The only thing is, in the past, when presidents have done it, they made sure they had the balls to do it. That's really the only way to put it. Perhaps the first most glaring example of this is President Jackson. We know his famous statement that John Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. Basically, Jackson just said, I don't really care what the court says. I'm going to, it was a case involving Indians, and Jackson wanted to remove Indians from the South. He was a Southern, he was a Southern president, and he wanted to remove Indians from the South, and the court said, nah, you really can't just do it like that. And Jackson just said, hey, you know what, I'm the president. Well, he could just say, I'm the president, now watch me, and try and stop me, because as you know, Jackson is probably one of our greatest presidents. That's why his face is on money. I think it's the $20 bill, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he stopped the British in Louisiana and set America on the course for being America as we know it today. So Jackson could do it. The other president, of course, everybody knows, Roosevelt. When Roosevelt was, you know, when the court kept striking down his laws, Roosevelt just said, you know what, I can't lessen the number of people on the court, but I'll increase it to 13 from 9. And of course, you know, the Supreme Court basically capitulated. But Roosevelt could do it. He had majorities in both houses of Congress, and strong majorities, by the way, and he was popular. And it was the Depression, so people were... he had the backing of the people behind him, so he could do it. I mean, the court said, all right, hey, cool. So he could do it. President Obama does not have the cojones to even think about doing that. First of all, his healthcare law didn't pass by large majorities in Congress. It barely passed. As a matter of fact, Senator, I think Scott Brown Senator Kennedy died, and Scott Brown got elected from Massachusetts, and they had to pass it as is, the bill, as is, in the rush of the night, because it would have gone down to defeat once Senator Brown was sworn in. So it wasn't any great majority, and President Obama, frankly enough, Maybe he's sniffing the oil paints in the White House. Maybe that's what happens. You go to the White House and you get delusions of grandeur. But he was nowhere in the same league as Jackson, Roosevelt, to begin to put the smack down on the Supreme Court. I think the first time he did it and he got away with it because he was in Congress and, you know, protocol and all that dictates, you know. But once he got outside and opened his mouth, a federal judge just said, okay, whoa, hold up right there, homie. Nigga, please. And so Eric Holder had to quickly shoot off a letter saying, no, we respect the court and blah, blah, blah. So it happens. But Mickey Mouse in the plantation house. So just to fill you in on that, you know, wanted to touch, you know, just, it was a good laugh. And I said I'd put my my clip skills to use and see how well I do. So that one provided a bit of entertainment relief. Another thing I wanted to go over real quickly was that in a previous show, I think it was last week's show, I made reference to a phrase that Bibi Netanyahu made that was about where he had said, in order for there to be peace, in order for the Palestinians to experience peace, they have to love their children more than they hate Israel or Jews, basically. And I did some research on it and found out it wasn't Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi, as we so lovingly call him. It wasn't a phrase he made, actually. But I'd seen him make it on, I think it was the Charlie Rose show. And during the research, I saw that he had made it, I think, to CPAC or some other organization in another speech. But the phrase actually comes from Golda Meir years ago. She had made the statement. So I just wanted to make sure I attribute the phrase to the person who actually mentioned it. And then if you listen to the show, you know, I went on to say that, well, applying that to America, it would be, in order for America to know peace, we have to love our children more than we hate Black Americans or African Americans, whichever you want, or the Negroes, whichever one you prefer to call them, or nigger, please, whichever way you want to call it. But basically, that was the gist. Because then I went into, you know, some of the things Article 28 stands behind and what we believe in. And so we went into violence, right, dealing with violence and how we measure violence, you know, throughout, how violence measures your, well, how much, well, it's certainly peace, but your peace and prosperity. And it's the only indicator, forget all the economic indicators and all that stuff. Violence measures your peace and prosperity throughout, against past eras, past years, whatever, against the future, and against the present, against your standing. You can just use it to measure the society's standing. So I wanted to get into some issues that happened this week. We'll do that right after the break, and I'll just touch up more on this Supreme Court issue, why it's very important, actually, to the debate that's going on. So after the break, we'll come back, we'll deal with those issues, and, you know, wrap up the show. This one should be a short show. So come back, and we look forward to seeing you in a few.
There's a new rebel in town, and this one's called the Dread. Hold on to whatever you got, but best yet, just hold on. He's talking liberty, politics, politrics, and we are going to be marching on the way to being free. the Dred Scott Show with your host, the one, the only, Neil the Dred Scott. Tune in or tune out or whatever you tune, but this one is live.
Hi there, just wanted you to know my name is Neil Scott. I'm the president and founder of Article 28, and at this time I'd like to thank you for joining the Dred Scott Show, and we hope it provides you with just great entertainment while keeping you abreast of all that's going on in politics in our nation's capital, you know, and in the country, how it affects you, and hope you'll join us on our March to Liberty. At this time, I just want to inform, make sure to keep reminding you that we do have advertisements for sale on the Dred Scott Show. So please feel free to contact us at info@article28.com, or you can visit our website at www.article28.com. Once again, that's www.article28.com. So at this time, I'd like you to encourage you to listen to the rest of the Dred Scott Show and enjoy. Thank you very much. All right, everybody. So welcome back. Welcome back. So let's just get right into it. Oakland, California. I'm sure most of you have heard. Oakland, California. One go. A nursing student at, or a past nursing student at Okiso University, basically went into the school and shot 12 people, killing 7, 5 are wounded. Won Go is his name. Now this is a Korean Christian college in Oakland, California, and in my other show, in the previous show, like I said, we've discussed just this constant barrage we get of students missing and disappearing, and school shootings too have become just, you know, something, I guess, new, or whatever you want to call it. News makes it sound so, you know, new stuff is always good, you know, it's new. But unfortunately, it's disturbing, I should say, because they're becoming too commonplace. And it just ties into what I've said. Whilst the government is telling us day in, day out that violence in the United States is always at historically low levels, we're subjected to just horrendous acts of violence every day, and you wonder what the people in Washington D.C. are sniffing. You know, these days you can barely go to school. You know, we've added just a bunch of new terminology to our language. You know, the Eskimos have about 200 ways to talk about snow because they're surrounded by, you know, well, they're Eskimos. You can figure it out. The snow is their life. You better have 200 ways, you know. We've been adding a steady. Adding to the dictionary a steady stream of new words to describe violence. Couple of them, you know, whenever you say Columbine, everybody, you know, there's a school where somebody went Columbine, you know, or however you want to put Columbine in there. There's going postal, you know what that means. Every week it's like, well, postal, I guess, refers to when you shoot up a business, you know, a private enterprise. Going Columbine means you're shooting up a school. We have drive-by shootings, which is when, you know, you just drive by and shoot up the place. there's gang banging. That's when you're a gangster and you go out and you shoot up the place. So I'm sure there are more words in the lexicon that we can add, you know. Those were just the few I could remember real fast. But, there's some more. I guess we can add now. You did a Trayvon, or I guess that's when you shoot somebody who's unarmed. So, you know, send. Well, we'll get our email up and running, and you know, send them in, or still just send them in to. Oh, send them to the Dred Scott Show at article28.com, so we can add to the list as we go along. So, I was saying, whilst the government is saying, you know, Amber Alert. I forgot Amber Alert. There you go. That's another one that refers to, I forget her name, Amber whatever. That's when a young kid goes, a young child actually. Well, a child is young. That's when a child goes missing and they put it up on in amber lights on the highway. So that, you know, you can be on the lookout. And that one stemmed from, I guess, this girl was, I forget her name, Amber or something, and she got kidnapped and brutal stuff, just vicious stuff. Stuff you wouldn't want to be on the jury, I can tell you that. Today, the police don't even tell the public the details of the crime anymore. They used to at one time in America, you know. You read the front paper and it would have everything, you know, the police said so and so and blah blah blah, and this was, no, they can't even print it in the paper what the criminals do to the victims, because the general public would be horrified. As a matter of fact, maybe we should start, instead of, you know, increasing the pay for, start giving, yeah, we should put maybe in Obamacare, put coverage for post traumatic stress disorder whenever you go on a jury traumatic stress disorder, because if you have to sit on a jury with some of these crimes that people commit these days, God help you, you hear? So you just was touching on that violence again, because it is emblematic, or whatever that word is. I'll lose my train of thought, but emblematic of what is wrong with America today. And our leaders in Washington are here arguing over, well, getting in fights with the Supreme Court. Now, to wrap it up, look, it's a valid point the president raised, but he is not the president to do it. There's been a note. It's probably best to leave that for another show. We'll probably leave it for another show. We'll just wrap this show up with those two pointers. You know, just another week of violence, horrific violence, and you know, you're wondering what are the asylum here? Well, the plantation asylum, you know, is open, but is really the lunatics are in charge. The country's let's not forget, the economy is still in the crapper. And we have a president who, like I said, decides, you know, who is a weak president, by the way, facing re-election, and decides to attack the Supreme Court. Now, there are reasons to attack the court, but this is not the guy to do it. And, you know, and then that is his attorney general then has to go and basically fall on What does it fall on his own petard to save this guy? You know, because a circuit court judge actually just tells him, "Hey, you better send us a clarification of what this president means." Clearly, nobody knew, or clearly, the president didn't consult with the attorney general before attacking the court, and clearly. And, well, maybe the attorney general knew or didn't know. I don't know what's going on there. But, this guy was no Roosevelt, and he certainly was no Jackson. So with that, just bid you adieu. We hope you could, please come back and join us for our next show, where we'll get more into the issues of the Supreme Court. And things such as, frankly, our court is unique in even democracies because there's something called parliamentary supremacy. And it's actually, there's some of it enshrined in our constitution. But we'll just build on this topic as we go along and we deal more with Article 28 and bring you along. So just a reminder as we tune out. When you hear the cowbell, it was a bad idea. So President Obama attacked the Supreme Court and judicial review. Bad idea. Good idea, Article 28 and how we're going to move forward and secure liberties. So when you hear a good idea, T-bell. All right, so T-bell, good idea. Cowbell, bad idea. So again, thank you for joining us and catch our next show. I'm your host, Neil the Dred Scott, and this is the Dred Scott Show.